had him scheduled last year, but Providence intervened and he had to cancel out. But we're glad to have him here this week. And he's from Winterville, Georgia. Now, that's not where Yankees go in the wintertime. But and it's, so that's where winter goes in Georgia. But he's a good brother. Been, we've heard him in our church. Been a great blessing, and God's used him across the land. And as I said in the Grace Gazette, he's our kind. He believes like we do. He has a burden for what we have a burden for, and that's why we have him here. So pray for him and be attentive to the word as God uses this man. Brother Tom Gillip, would you come?
The Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Genesis. We're getting louder, getting lower. I've been created to speak slow so I can minister to Yankees. And they can better understand me. I only have two speeds, slow and off. And if you mess with me, I'll put it on the other speed. It is in my heart in these evening services, as the Lord would allow us, to look at various and sundry people in the Bible and their relationship with a tree. And it is my desire to preach on the subject of rightly related to the tree. And I'd like to begin tonight in Genesis chapter number 3. And I'd like to bring our attention to our Pawpaw Adam and our Granny Eve. We find them tonight behind a tree. The tree of the fallen. The scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Extremely interested in that little word, hid. It means to become out of sight, to become where you cannot be seen. It said they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. He's extremely interested in the little word amongst. The little word can be translated in the middle of, or it can be translated behind. You can't see me, can you? I'm hidden. Oh, we would laugh at that tonight, wouldn't we? Our foolish Pawpaw Adam and Granny Eve hiding the presence of God behind a tree. But how many of us tonight will say things, think he can't hear it? We even cut the lights off. Think he can't see us. Peekaboo. You can't see me, can you? Hiding behind a tree. Tree of the fallen. They have fallen. They can't get up. As we begin to look at the text tonight and unpack it, I would draw our attention tonight to the trees. Scripture seems to tell us that there are two types of trees here. If you have your Bible there, I hope you've brought a Bible. Extremely hard to study a Bible if you don't have one. As my son says in who pastors in Virginia Beach said don't like share the Bible. If your husband is sharing your Bible tonight, don't let him look at it. Tell him to get his own. It says in chapter 2 and verse number 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was two types of trees in the garden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Morally right. Knowing right from wrong. Is that the way you're raising your kids? Oh, my kids to know right from wrong. Sure enough. Teach them how to hide behind a tree. That's what Adam and Eve wanted to. We just want to know right from wrong. Here they had the chance to know morality versus the tree of life, perpetual life, unending life, never dying. He told them they could eat of this tree. He told them not to eat of this tree. He told them that when they ate of that tree, the scripture tells us, he says, you shall surely die. You got your Bible there, chapter 2 and verse 16. He says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou must freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. It's extremely interesting in that little word, die. It is a perpetual verb. It literally means to become dead and dying. The minute Adam and Eve ate that tree, they became dead. No more relationship with God. No more coming to God. Those days were over. Unless God came to them, they were going to hell as sure as where they were standing. They couldn't come to God. God must come to them. But not only that, they were dying. Rigor mortis had set in on them. They had begun to rot. And so now all of Adam's descendants come out of their mother's womb, not in the likeness of God, but in the likeness of Adam and Eve. All of us come into this world dead, cannot get to God, and dying. The minute the doctor slaps you on the bottom and you go, what? Rigor mortis has already set in on you. You've already begun to die. That's how come you need to right guard and left guard. Because you're dying. I was reading a little article the other day. It said that every hour, I don't think we've been in here an hour quite yet, just 45 minutes, 15 more minutes. Every hour, 2 million dead particles fall off from you. Wow. One of those CSI crime units could come in here tonight. I think you'd have a heyday. Wow. All the little dead things falling off of you, me, are just dead, dying. All kind of, matter of fact, the little article said that 65% of all the dust in your house has got your DNA in it. Wow, you're just leaving yourself everywhere. You're dying. Matter of fact, he told them, he said, I got you from the dust. And he said, when I'm done with you, you're going to return to the dust. All of us are from... Of course, I take that back. You ladies here tonight, God didn't get you from the dust. Got you from a rib. Man, you secondhand dirt. Wow. It's something to get excited about, ain't it? Paul said it like this. He said, we have this treasure, Christ, in an earthen vessel. The little word earthen is the word dirt. And the word vessel is the word bag. Honey, did that preacher just call me a dirt bag? Yes. You may be a cute dirtbag, but you're a dirtbag. At your best, we're just dirt. I don't know how you feel about it. It just doesn't stir me up to get excited about dirt. Here, the types of the trees mentioned, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go further with me in the Scriptures if you have your Bible there. Chapter 3, verse number 1. Not only do we see the types mentioned, but we see the test mentioned. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Adam and Eve were given a choice between this tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And I know it's cussing around you folks, but Adam and Eve were born with a free will. They could make a choice. And they did. They made it for you. They made it for me. And after they did, all choosing was over. Wow. Adam made all of the choice for all the men here tonight. And Eve made choice for all the women here tonight. And they made the wrong choice. They ended up having to hide behind a tree. The tree of the fallen. Wow. What a horrible place to be tonight. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, tonight, the knowledge of evil will put a sinner in hell. But you may be here tonight and think, you know, Brother Gillum, you still don't know me. I'm a pretty good fellow. The knowledge of goodness tonight will put a self-righteous person in hell. You'll go to hell just as quick being good as you will being evil. If that's all you're going to do is be good tonight, you ought to just let the stops out and be as wicked as you want to be, because you're going to end up in the same place. Not going to change a thing. Are you listening to me tonight? The knowledge test. They had a choice between these two trees. They had the choice between knowing right and wrong and living forever. I notice a lot of you have dogs around. Do you know old Rover's going to die? And you're going to have to bury him because Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. Death is set in. Fallen. They can't get up. Would you go further in the text with me tonight? Not only do we see the trees, but I want us to see the temptation. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 and verse number 1 that Satan is a master of disguises. He says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." That little word subtle is cunning, tricky. I hope you don't think when he came to Eve, he was that slithering snake like we think about. Oh no. That's what he was when it was over with. I don't know about you, I'm not testifying for you. But if I was standing out in the woods and a snake comes sliding up to me on his belly talking, I'd make a new door in the woods. Oh no. He was a master of disguises when he came. He's so tricky. He's so master. Matter of fact, I believe with all of my heart, Satan can have you chasing him. He can run into a briar patch, change his disguise, come out the other side, circle back around, and help you look for him. He's a master at it. Some of you sitting here tonight think you're chasing God. But you're chasing a devil as sure as where you're sitting. He's a master of disguises. But I notice in our text, he is a master of deception. The scripture says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Yea, hath God said." This conference, our dear moderator told us, is to center around the Word of God. One of the first things that Satan wanted Eve to do was to question the Bible. Does it really say that? "Yea, hath God said." I thought it was interesting. In chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." I was thinking, my wife said, the reason why my sermons are so long, because I think too much. I was thinking, she said, "Touch it." I can almost see God in heaven doing this. I didn't say that. I didn't say nothing about touching it. Paul said this in Corinthians. He said, "I fear." The little word "fear" there is the word for the breaking of a glass in the night and footsteps coming down the hallway. Paul said, "I fear as the serpent beguiled Eve, so has he beguiled us from the simplicity which is in Christ." I wonder how much tonight you and I say about God. And he's sitting up in heaven and said, "I didn't say that." You know, we're very traditionally oriented, especially along the lines of convictions and standards. Most of us got them from somebody else. I wonder a lot of that stuff if God say, "I didn't say that." I have a dear family member. She's in a retirement center down in Florida. There's a dear couple comes there every Sunday and does the church service. They've been doing it for years. I was talking to her the other day and she said, "You know, I'm really having a hard time getting anything out of that lady." I said, "How come?" She said, "She wears sleeveless blouses." I didn't say that. Are you listening to me tonight? He is a master at getting you and I to say what he didn't say. And we'll build doctrines on it. We'll separate from people over it. And God is sitting up in the heavens saying, "I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that." Are you listening to me tonight? I don't know about you. It has made me be more conscious that when I say something, make sure he said it. It wasn't just something I said. You still here tonight? Go further with me. The master of deception. Notice in chapter number 3, verse 5. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. You will become a moralist. You'll be able to determine right from wrong." How many of us tonight have loved ones or friends, and we would say this about them? Such good people. Such kind people. I'm telling you tonight, he's just hiding behind a tree. You can't offer to God your goodness tonight. He won't take it. Refuses to take it. Master of deception. I notice also chapter number 3, verse number 7, the Bible says, the eyes of them both were open, talking about the master of deception. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Was thinking, your Papa Adam and your Granny Eve, they were the first people to coin this phrase, I've turned over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. How many of you sitting here tonight have said, yes, you can count, I'm going to do better. I got it. I'm going to do better. Quit it. You're just going to do worse. It's just fig leaves. It's just hiding. It's not doing anything. He's the master of deception. I notice also in this master of deception, chapter number 3, verse 16. This is part of the curse. Now, part of the deception. He says unto the woman, he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows, thy conception and sorrow. Thy shall bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Be careful with that little phrase. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. Sounds sweet. Sounds real fuzzy wuzzy. But it's a part of the curse. The little word desire there is our little word manipulate. Wow. Every person in here tonight of the feminine gender, you come out of your mother's womb with a desire to manipulate a man and get them to do what you want them to do. Wow. So says him. Some of you started at an early age trying to get your daddy to do what you wanted him to do. Manipulation. Don't punch the guy sitting beside you. Look at the rest of the verse. Wow. He said, and he shall rule over thee. The little word rule is an interesting word. Every one of the male gender in here tonight, you came out of your mother's womb with a part of the curse. You have a desire to be a dictator over a woman. You desire to get her to do what you want her to do. I got to thinking, if I get somebody married, she's got a strong desire to manipulate, and he's got a strong desire to be a dictator, and you put them together, you're going to have hell on this earth. No wonder 50% of them are breaking up. Can't take it. And unless both parties will bow, realize it's a part of the curse. It's part of the disguise of Satan. Every time you feel like you want to manipulate, peek-a-boo. Every time you feel like you want to be a, bless God, she's going to do what I say and do, I'm the breadwinner. Peek-a-boo. I can't see you. Are you listening to me tonight? Master of deception. Fallen. Can't get up. Got fig leaves on. Trying to hide from God. Go a step further with me tonight. Not only do I see the trees, I see the test, but I see the transformation. Oh, I love this. I hate to even show you this. I know you ain't going to believe it. It's too big to believe. It'll make even a Yankee smile. Wow. Watch it. Notice in chapter number 3 and verse number 8, there is a transforming master. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. Time out! Hold on! I have got a problem. Got a problem with the Bible? Yes, sir. How do you get a voice to walk? I've always thought you heard a voice. They said this voice was walking. The little word voice here is an interesting word. Would you believe? Sometimes I get to thinking God wrote the Bible. It's so big the way He's twisted it together so masterfully. The little word voice here is our word, word. They said they heard the word walking. Wow. Is it somewhere in the Bible where John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Here He is. He's walking. The little word, word here, it is our little word for phonetical sound. I love the hound out of that, don't you? There is no communication with Him without that. There can be no words. There can be no phrases. There can be no sentences. There can be no paragraphs. There can be no chapters. There can be no books. There can be no libraries. There can be no communication without the voice. Here He comes, walking in the garden. I thought it was interesting too. They said they heard the voice. The root of the little word voice, the root of the little word voice, is the cry of a dying animal. Adam and Eve got their little fig skirts on. They're going to do better. Turned over a new leaf. All of a sudden they hear this sound. See this one that has come. I thought it was interesting too. The scripture says He came in the cool of the day. The little word cool there is a light chilling breeze. What did Jesus that said to Nicodemus, talking about being born again? He said the Spirit comes like a wind that blows. A breeze has blown through here. They're hiding behind a tree. I can almost hear Eve say, "Phew, gracious, man, it's cold in here." She's never been cold before. She's never been chilled. She's never been... It's soft or deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It might be over your head. She's never been lost. Wonder how many of you here tonight claim to be saved have got a lost testimony. I thought it would be good. Maybe we just start right here on the front. We'll go to the back. We'll cross over. Come back up this side. I don't want to hear about your saved testimony. Tell us about when God hung you out over hell. You were lost. Oh, don't look at the back trying to go to the bathroom. I ain't going to do it. Some of you scared to death. I'm telling you tonight, if you've never been lost, you've never been saved. You can't get saved till you get lost. They're lost. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. They're shaking in their leaves. You can hear the leaves shaking. They're scared to death. How come? God brought them up short. They realize they've fallen. They can't get up. Watch the text. Not only do we see the transforming Master, but we see the transforming mission. In chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 9, "And the Lord God called Adam and said, Where art thou? Where art thou?" He's not trying to find Adam. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He wants Adam to find out where Adam's at. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if God would show some of you your fig leaves? The things you've been saying. And He said, "I didn't say that." He would uncover you for what you really are. Just a do-gooder. No real relationship of intimacy with Him. The Bible says in chapter number 3, verse 21, "Unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, clothed them." They're hiding behind that tree, shivering. They're cold, they're lost. They hear that voice, "Meh, meh, meh." All of a sudden, it stopped. It's dead quiet. I can almost hear Eve tell Adam, "Adam, look. See what he's doing." Eve, you wouldn't believe it. He's standing there. And there's a dead lamb laying at his feet. And his hands are covered in blood. And Eve, you wouldn't believe it. He's got two coats holding them in his hands. And if I miss my guess, Eve, I believe they'll fit us perfect. Clothed them in his righteousness. Took away those old fig leaves. And gave them life at His good pleasure. Oh, what a God we have tonight. You have your Bible there? I read one last verse and I'm done. Romans chapter number 5. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy. God forbid I'd be nosy. Anything ever happened to you like happened to your Papa Adam and your Granny Eve? You ever have an experience like that? Preacher, I don't know nothing about that. Would you make yourself a note? "I'm going to hell when this is over with." You say, "Preacher..." I've prayed the sinner's prayer, been down the Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I even got my birthday written in front of my Bible. Hell will be full of people that did it. Hell will be full of people that did it. You must have a similar experience like they did. Caught up, lost in all of your goodness. Him and His good pleasure come to you. You couldn't come to Him. He came and robed you in His righteousness. Took away all your sin. This little verse in Romans chapter number 5. Verse 12. Paul says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." When you come out of your mother's womb, you were dead. You had your face towards hell, your back towards heaven. If God don't turn you, you'll never be turned. But I've got good news. Look down at verse 17. He said, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came unto all men, unto the justification of life. I bless the day that God brought me to a place where I was lost. I couldn't come to Him, but He came to me, quickened me and awoke me in my sin, saved my soul. I was hiding behind a tree, fallen, couldn't get up. I wonder if you have such an experience tonight. Would you stand with us all over the tabernacle tonight? Father, I thank You tonight for the Word of God. It's such a powerful book. Lord, I'd like to publicly thank You tonight for the day You brought me up short like You did Adam and Eve. You put lostness in my soul. I shivered at the law in the presence of God. I realized I had fallen short. None of my goodness would help. Lord, I can say with the songwriter tonight, oh, what a Savior is mine. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight, it is not my desire tonight to get you to do anything. I'm not a decision-making machine. Not interested in praying a prayer with you, getting you to make a profession. It'll probably just nail a deeper nail of unrighteousness into your heart. But I would ask you this tonight. I wonder if while you've been sitting here in this service, for some strange and unknown reason, you have realized for the first time, or maybe there has been multiple occasions of late, realizing that you're lost, without God, without hope. Would be your desire tonight. I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to try to corner you up during the camp, try to talk to you. If you know anything about me, that's not my style. I'm too introverted for it. But it would just be your request of prayer tonight, preacher. I realize I'm lost. I would covet your prayers for my lost condition. Anywhere in the building, that would be your prayer request. Slip your hand up long enough that I could see it. I'd pray for your face while I'm here. God knows your name. Pray for me, preacher. I'm lost. Don't know where I'd go if I died tonight. Anywhere in the building, that would be your request of prayer. Can I take for granted tonight? Everybody in the building is saved. Had an experience like Adam and Eve, been brought to a lost condition, been quickened and brought alive and clothed in righteousness. Preacher, let me slip my hand up. I don't want to lie right here in church. I'm lost. I'm lost. Pray for me. Father, we thank You tonight for Your kindness. Oh, we thank You tonight for the attention of Your people. I pray for that one that may be here tonight lost. I pray the bed would be lumpy tonight. I pray the covers would be short. Sleep wouldn't come. Maybe in the darkness of this night they would bow cry out to you. Bow the knee to your Lordship. Confess that thou art the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.